With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Home of the fun, frivolous, lowbrow fluff that your group chat excels at. We're here to talk about the best things in the world of pop culture, from celebrities to influencers and all of the nonsense in between. And you're, of course, joined by me, Al, a London-based 27-year-old writer who spends a lot of time chatting and reading about the fun, silly topics that maybe your boss, your parents, your partner, whoever, questions why you enjoy so much. Each week, we're going to be talking about the best bits that pop culture has to offer, and this is your safe space to enjoy, dissect and binge on the frothy nonsense that brings you a smile. You guys, hello. How are we? How is everybody? It's been a busy week. We have had Halloween, Diwali and fireworks night is right around the corner. And I had forgotten how many fireworks that would entail. So this has been just like a slightly tricky number to record because I normally record in an evening, and every evening this week we have had fireworks going off. So I'm recording it early in the morning, and I think you can tell from the intro I sound a little bit tired. So I really apologise. I am struggling somewhat, but we've got some really exciting things to talk about. I think you're going to enjoy them. And if you don't, I'm sorry. I trust my gut here, guys. I think we've got some juicy things to chat about. So if that sounds up your street, then let's dive right in with the best of the brain rot, the silly stories that got us talking this week. You guys, I kid you not, my neighbour has just started his lawnmower, so I am so sorry if you can hear any of that, but let's ignore it for now. We have to talk about Bonnie Blue and the frenzied media storm around her, because it has just been wild the past week or so. For those of you who aren't familiar with Bonnie Blue, she is a 25-year-old OnlyFans creator, so an online sex worker. She's British, and she now currently lives in Australia, and over the past couple of weeks, I want to say, she has moved very much into the mainstream media, which means that you don't have to be an OnlyFans subscriber, you don't even have to be following other sex workers on any sort of platform. She's very much in the mainstream already, and so you may have heard of her without being on that side of the internet whatsoever. And the reason for this is that she has carved out a niche on OnlyFans to guarantee that she can grow and maintain an engaged audience, which is obviously a very clear business model. It makes complete sense. I'm sure many OnlyFans creators do this. I'll be honest, I don't subscribe to any of them, so I couldn't give another example off the top of my head, but I am sure that there are niches and kinks and whatever you want to call it on the channel or on the platform, basically guarantee a working business model. Bonnie has gained notoriety because of some controversy around this niche. She has decided that in a professional sense, she will only be sleeping with, or she is predominantly sleeping with, young men aged 18 or late teens, early 20s, who are, for the most part, sexually inexperienced or who haven't had sex before. These are men she refers to as barely legal. And I mean, that in itself makes me feel deeply uncomfortable, but we're going to keep pushing forward. She connects with these men by attending freshers events and school leavers events and basically advertising her location and what she's after or what she wants to do on her social platforms or by walking through campus. She often posts a picture of her on a uni campus holding up a billboard saying, you know, well, very much a homemade billboard. Billboard is maybe the wrong word, but a homemade sign saying exactly what she wants. And that is that she wants to have sex with these young guys for free. They don't have to pay her. But in return, she is allowed to film it and she is allowed to post it on OnlyFans and she will be taking all of the profit from the videos that she creates. I mean, you want to call it an internship, but I think a sexual internship is just, it's that, that's not a thing. So, but she's very much taken the internship model there and really given it a whole new life, I think it's absolutely fair to say. And alongside this, she is very much working to sleep with as many young men as possible in like a set period of time. So she tells stories about men queuing up for more than 8 hours to sleep with her. And she also said that, you know, over the 2 weeks of Nottingham Uni freshers, she slept with around 200 men, which I think it goes without saying, but maybe I should say that is not the norm. I don't want anyone thinking that's normal in any way, shape or form. She's a professional in that sense. I think we have to acknowledge that. She was recently interviewed on GK Barry's podcast, Saving Grace, where she said that over the last year, she's made £3 million from this content, which I think is such a slap in the face for the guys who are being filmed and not being paid, because that is more money than anyone really needs. So she could afford to pay these guys, which, I mean, we'll get onto that in a second. But yeah, she's making a huge amount of money from it. She is advertising her services, obviously, online. And she is targeting a very specific group, which is where part of the uproar has come from. The other side of her content is that she sleeps with married men. Her argument being that and I will say that this argument very much falls into sort of gender stereotypes, patriarchal household norms. I think that you have to acknowledge that. But she argues that, you know, if men or husbands are going out to work to pay the bills, when they come home to their wives who have stayed at home and cleaned the house or looked after the children or whatever it is, that these men deserve sex, and that if their wives aren't happy with that or don't wish to sleep with them, that Bonnie is completely within her rights to then sleep with these married men. And I will say that yes, Bonnie is within her rights to sleep with absolutely anybody. Having said that, no married man, unless it's an open relationship, should be sleeping with anybody apart from his spouse. I think that goes without saying. That's the whole point of a lot of marriages, you know, commitment to each other on all levels of life. And of course, both of these niches have caused backlash. I think there is definitely an element of rage baiting here. I'm sure she is a bright woman and knows exactly what she's doing. She knows by saying these things and by targeting these audiences, she is causing commentary around her, which in turn obviously promotes her and broadens the audience in which she's engaging with without her really having to pay for anything, market particularly effectively. It works really well on a business sense, so you've got to take your hat off to her there. And as I said, I have no issue with her sleeping with married men, but to me, her approach to young men is completely wrong. And I've heard a couple of other podcasters talking about this, as well as read a few articles. And not everyone agrees with me, and that's absolutely fine, because I do understand that these men are of legal consenting age. That is totally okay. But I think that her actions are predatory, and I think she completely misuses the power dynamic between her and each of these partners. Because these are 18-year-old men, and yes, they're adults, but they are actually also teenagers, and she is very much an adult. She's also the professional in this sense, and she also is the more experienced person in this sense. And I do not believe that these men, despite being ID'd and signing a form of consent, are actually providing informed consent. 18 is so young. And I think we're all guilty of like acting before thinking at that age and not fully understanding the sentence that, you know, the internet is forever. And I think she's fully taking advantage of people in quite a vulnerable stage of life, especially around like students. It's a time of change, and I mean, I think if we especially think about young men, they, without labelling it negatively, they often move in big groups who have the habit of sort of egging each other on, winding each other up, taking a joke sometimes a little bit too far, and you can totally see that in order to get along and be included in the group and want to be part of the gang, somebody agreeing and taking part in and saying yes to a joke, or for example saying yes, let's all go sign up to sleep with Bonnie Blue, well actually maybe they don't necessarily want to, but the rest of the group is doing it, or their friends are doing it, and like to not do it would actually be the weird thing right now, so it's better to do it. And maybe actually feeling somewhat peer pressured into it, not by Bonnie herself but by the situation and the dynamic that Bonnie has created. And I do think if we flip the genders around, people will be in uproar, more so than they are now. Could you imagine a 25-year-old man predominantly sleeping with 18-year-old women on purpose, like seeking out sexually inexperienced young women to sleep with, to make content, to share their bodies online forever, to effectively own that footage of their bodies? It makes me deeply uncomfortable. I think it's really not quite right whatsoever. And I'm really pro sex work. I love sex workers on TikTok. I follow a few. I follow a couple on Instagram. I love hearing their stories. But this decision by Bonnie has really made me feel quite uncomfortable. And I think I'm not the only one, given the amount of backlash she's received. You know, I first heard about her content plan through other people talking about it. It took me a good while before I was actually fed a video from Bonnie herself. And I think that shows how effective this rage baiting has been. And I mean, it's no wonder she's made 3 million, because let's face it, that much interest is going to cause a huge amount of traffic to her OnlyFans page. But let me know what you think. Do you agree? I totally understand if you don't. That's absolutely fine. Everyone is, of course, of legal age. Everyone has given consent. And everyone so far appears very happy with the outcome. So I fully understand if I am in the minority here. But it makes me uncomfortable. I think it's hard to deny the power dynamic. And I wouldn't be surprised if she continues to create this kind of content for some time before any proper repercussions come from it. But I am sure there will be, because how could there not be? It's too many people involved for there not to be repercussions, in my honest opinion. But let me know what you think. Interested as ever. I'm curious. All right, you guys. Up next, the silliest story of the week, but also my absolute favourite. And that is that Bratz has been announced as Word of the Year by Collins Dictionary. And I love this because it shows that, you know, the silly stuff we do online, the stuff that I think so many people roll their eyes at or don't take seriously or anything like that, actually has a huge impact in culture as a whole, and is recognised as doing that. And I love it. It makes me really happy. So I'm very pleased about this announcement. For those of you who've forgotten where Brat comes from, it is, of course, the name of Charlie XCX's album. It came out this year in about June, I want to say. It was her 6th studio album and her best yet. It dominated the charts. I think it must have brought her a huge number of new fans who I don't think will have realised it was her 6th album at the time. But it smashed records. It was incredible. I really, really like the album. Apple is my favourite song off it, which probably makes me incredibly basic, but I don't care. I like what I like. If you're a runner or anything like that, I'd recommend listening to the album as you run. It's got a really good beat. It's really high energy. It makes the miles fly by, I'm telling you that now. And of course, it was associated or defined by its neon green branding, which we now of course call Bratz Green. And I mean, the aesthetic took the world by storm. We had Brat Summer or Brat Girl Summer, and of course Kamala Harris even rebranded her social media campaign channels to Brat Green, I think as a move probably to speak to her like online and Gen Z audience. I'm really hoping it worked, because I think it was a really clever idea. Collins defined the word as someone with a confident, independent, and hedonistic attitude. And I think that has been very much inspired by not only the album and the concept of Brat Girl Summer, but I think also the look in itself. Brat Girl, if you're being sort of really black and white about it, I think we'd say it was the opposite of the clean girl aesthetic, which has been hugely popular online and in day-to-day life for, I want to say, at least a year, maybe more. I really like both aesthetics. I don't think I can pull off Brat Girl, if I'm going to be honest, but I try, but I'm not sure it's for me. If I was to define it, I think it's somebody who's like a little grungy, quite confident, very sort of self-assured and chilled out in some ways. And I think probably a tad grimy as well. I actually own a pair of Brat green trousers, which I bought for an engagement party back in 2022. And I love them. I adore them. They're so much fun. A complete side note is I had to get them tailored when I bought them because I'm not overly tall. And when they came back from the tailors with a very tight turnaround to be ready for the engagement party, the legs were different lengths. So there was a meltdown and a panicked trip back to the tailors to get them to correct it. But you wouldn't have known that on the night. They looked the same length. I was happy. They looked great, I think. So we're all good there. I've not actually found a chance to wear them this summer, which I feel was an absolute missed opportunity because it was Brat Girl Summer and I very much embodied it with those trousers. But it, with it being so wet, it just, I don't know, the summer slipped away from me. I didn't really notice. And I'm not sure they're wintry trousers, I'll be honest. So they might have to rest in the water for another year. And I'm not sure Brat Green will be as popular next year, but we shall see. Maybe I'll try and bring it back all by myself. Either way, I was excited. I think it's fair to say. I think you probably hear it in my voice. I think it's a really fun idea. I have no idea how they've really picked it. I think last year the word was Riz, like obviously short for charisma. But I don't know what sort of like voting process or analytics goes into defining or deciding which is the word of the year. Because Collins, they pick about 10 new words a year to add to the dictionary. I have no idea if they evict words as well. It feels logical to say yes, they must do, because otherwise the dictionary is just getting bigger and bigger. Obviously at a very slow rate, but this will add up. So I'm not quite sure, but yeah, 10 new words. And also in the list this year, guys, was era, which I think is fair to say was absolutely defined by or introduced or inspired, whatever the word you want to use, by Taylor Swift's Eras Tour, which is still ongoing, a mammoth tour. I think it's been running for about 2 years now. I went early this year, May time, loved it. Really, if you're in America and you're able to get tickets, I would thoroughly recommend it because it's a great use of money, I'll be honest. They defined era as a period of one's life or career that is of a distinctive character. And I think it's incredibly impressive that Brat beat out era for word of the year. Because if you're dumbing it right down to sort of artist size or impact or status or anything like that, Charlie XCX is dwarfed by Taylor. So I take my hat off to her because that is one incredibly impressive feat. And I think it shows the absolute impact her album had, maybe because it was so concentrated over the summer, whereas Taylor's has been such a long spread out tour. And people have been saying for ages now, oh, you know, I'm in my, I don't know, iced coffee era, or I'm in my workout girl era, or I'm in my, you know, mac and cheese era, whatever you want to call it. No, I don't know. I don't know why they would have felt that Brat beat it out, but I am impressed nonetheless, excited by it, and I really hope it lives on and is included next year, but we shall see. Alright, you guys, up next, it's Pop to Pin, which is, of course, something I've shallow dived this week, but I'm hoping to come back to because it has caught my eye. And I got some really nice feedback from one of you the other day, which, you know, sort of said that Pop to Pin is great, but yeah, I leave you hanging. You're interested in what I am popping a pin in. You're interested in what I have to think about whatever it is I am planning to read, listen to, watch, etc. But I never share it. So if you would like a more full circle pop to pin, that's something I could definitely do. Let me know if you're interested. I might just start doing it anyway. We shall see. But yeah, this week, I definitely can't come back to you with any further news next week. Or I definitely don't think I will be able to because of how slow moving but juicy this news article is, this news is. And that is, it's an article from The Cut titled, "It's been a tough year for American Riviera Orchard." If you don't know what American Riviera Orchard is, that is totally understandable. It is potentially the slowest moving business I have ever heard about. It's of course the business launched by Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, And I want to say the website's been live for about a year. 8 months ago, American Riviera Orchard sent out jam to A-listers, including Mindy Kaling and Chrissy Teigen. It was apparently sort of like limited edition strawberry jam. And then that's kind of all we've heard. There's nothing on their website. There's just the option to join the mailing list. On their socials, there again is nothing apart from a really big version of their logo. That hasn't stopped the account gaining 608,000 followers. But again, nothing further on the Instagram account. So it's been really slow moving, very quiet in the last 8 months. But this article has shed some light on that. And that is apparently because, or suspected to be because, the company is struggling to obtain its trademarks. The biggest issue with this being that American Riviera is apparently a common nickname for Santa Barbara, which is the Californian city that Meghan and Harry call home. So, I mean, you can understand where she got the name from, because maybe she's been inspired by her hometown or her roots or whatever you want to call it. But they've basically come up and said, it's way too close. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to change your business name because adding the word orchard doesn't differentiate the business and the city widely enough, which I think is really, really interesting. And then we've had another trademark issue, and that is that Harry and David, who I believe make some sort of pear jam in the United States, have said that again, Meghan's business name is too similar to that Royal Riviera line of fruits. And I can understand it. Arguably, if someone said, is Meghan's business called Royal Riviera or American Riviera Orchard? I think you'd probably go for Royal Riviera, given her ties and her husband's ties to the royal family. Apparently not. So, very slow moving, but very interesting. And it jumps on the bandwagon of slightly bad press around this business. Earlier in the year, it was claimed that Meghan Markle was having a tough time sort of retaining staff. Whether or not that's actually true, I don't know. I do vaguely remember a couple of weeks back somebody leaking an email between Meghan and a member of staff, and the member of staff having said that he couldn't work for her, she was too tricky, the requests were unreasonable. And having read this leaked email, I didn't agree with the member of staff. So I wouldn't be surprised if gossip about staff and American Riviera Orchard are false. But the trademarks are absolutely true. This is absolutely true news. All the trademarks are still marked as pending, which I think is juicy. So I don't see this business moving forward anytime soon. And when it does, I don't think they'll be doing that much more jam. I believe, if I remember correctly, it's going to be sort of one-off items or limited edition runs, that kind of thing. So we shall see. But really juicy. It's piqued my interest. I can't deny it. I don't really know where it's going from here, though. And then, of course, we have our recommendations. It wouldn't be a frothy episode without a recommendation or two. This week, we again have two. My first is Nila Varman from Magic Radio's interview with Hugh Grant about his upcoming horror film, whose name has now completely escaped me. The trailer looks really, really good. I am not a fan of horror. It stays with me way too long, and I do not sleep well afterwards. I'm an absolute baby. So I won't be watching the film, but I wish him great luck with it because it does look incredible. I have no doubt my brother and his girlfriend will be going to see it because it's right up their street. And yeah, I'm really excited that he's come back on our screens in such a big way. I obviously loved his rom-com era. Well, there we go, me using the word era. But him coming back sort of from hiatus with the Paddington Bear movies and the gangster... Oh my goodness, what was the gangster film called? Guys, I'm not doing well for names today. But either way, I think he's great. I think he's really good in his more mature years. I'm really enjoying him seeing him on screen. But nonetheless, this one is not for me and I won't be watching it. That being said, the press around it has been really fun to watch. And Nila's interview with him, I won't lie, it's not the strongest interview ever. I could see myself in Nila's shoes. I think he's a huge star and I don't know, I could understand, I felt there was a slight level of nerves coming off her and I completely understand why. But what I loved is that she got him talking about his pet peeves, and his rant about his pet peeves, guys, iconic, incredibly funny, His line about water bottles and his children needing to cart water across London really got me. He has a real issue with backpacks, which I felt personally victimised for because that is currently my work bag. Something incredibly silly, really short, really sweet, really funny, and I definitely recommend it if you're looking for a very small giggle. And then my second recommendation, guys, and I can't help it, it's another Sarah J Maas book. I have been hooked this summer, this autumn, whatever you want to call it. I definitely started them in the summer, but it is now autumn. I have read almost every book she's published at this point, which is a huge number of books, and they are big books, and I love her for it. There is so much in each book that I have no doubt I'll be able to reread them. Some of them are so long. You know, we're talking 70 plus chapters, and not teeny tiny chapters, like fully detailed, really dense, really, there's some funny characters in them. I'm loving it. But I'm currently on her newest series, which is the Crescent City books, and I'm on her second book. So I can't recommend that just yet, though so far I'm loving it. But I would thoroughly recommend Crescent City, House of Earth and Blood. What I would say is each book starts with a list of like the houses because it's a fantasy book. Don't worry about that because I panicked because there are a huge number of houses and a huge amount of detail. I think a third of the way into book two. I still haven't got them down. I don't understand what's going on half the time with those houses. You don't need to. The story is strong enough without it. It's just an extra fun bit of detail if you can remember it. If you're a reader, if you're looking for something to read or get cosy with in the colder winter months, any of her books really, if I'm going to be honest. So this series, which I wasn't sure I was going to like, I am loving, so I'd thoroughly recommend. As always, guys, if you've got this far, thank you so, so much. Your listen is greatly appreciated. It's obviously a small independent podcast, so please do tell a friend, a family member, I don't know, your nemesis, whoever, tell somebody because I would be grateful for every listen. And if you liked what you heard and you'd like to hear about next week's as soon as it drops, please subscribe. It really helps us in the charts. And if you think, you know what, I don't mind the sound of her voice, then come along and follow us on Instagram or TikTok at Frothy Podcast. I look forward to seeing you there. Have a great week, guys.